This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We heard from Dana Thomas, one of the real authorities on the fashion industry. Her book is Fashionopolis, and we're joined by Manuel Martinez, who is recently in New York City, where he spends much of his time, as you can imagine, in his industry. But he's been based in Baton Rouge now since 1984, 35 years, and on three occasions, in Venice, Berlin, and Paris, he was named the best in the world at what he does. In 2001, 2003, 2005, he was named the king by the World Congress of Tailors. And good morning to you, Manuel Martinez.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you for having me over this morning.
You look great, as always, and not everybody can pull off that outfit you have, but you do it with panache. You look great.
Thank you.
We'll describe it at some point. And, Matt, we can put it on our website, too. So there you go. Now, Manuel Martinez, she Dana, said 50% of the people in the world are wearing blue jeans.
Well, I would have ventured that it's more than that, but she's got the facts. She's got the facts on her research, and it might be 50%, but I would have thought it was way more
than
that.
And they're not environmentally friendly, but
yes.
Do they look good?
I think the reason people wear jeans is because they're very user-friendly. You don't have to wash them every day, and so people are told. And they're wrinkle-free, so you don't have to iron them mm-hmm. every day and so on. So perhaps one of the things that they like about it. And they last long. They last.
But you wouldn't be caught dead in a pair of blue jeans.
Well, there are times that I wear blue jeans when I'm working in the yard, when I'm on the roof, or I'm in the attic, you know, doing the handy-dos. So.
But you've got an image to keep, and when you're out in the town, Manuel always looks like Manuel, and it is an experience when you see Manuel walk into a room.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's not about the image. It's something that I like, and I take pleasure of doing it, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, Dana brought up some good points about the fashion industry. You know that one out of six people in the world work in the fashion industry, more than agriculture, more than many other lines of business that we probably consider more prominent. But it is a big part of our world. We've all got to wear clothes. And in some of these countries, of course, the people are taken advantage of. They don't make a living wage. How do you get around that, or do you? Is it possible as a person who makes clothes?
Well, I don't know about how is that done in Ethiopia and some other parts of the country, but we don't use sweatshops. We make our garments by hand, and I think you know it's the supply and demand, and people always looking to save money, and as long as people are looking to save money, then the business people are going to figure out how to make cheap things, and people are going to buy them. It's a sad situation, but it's reality.
All right, a couple of questions from listeners. John in New Roads, when will flip-flops go away? Says they are anti-fashion. Do you wear flip-flops, Manuel?
Not at all. Not at all.
No. Ricky Causey writes, almost no one uses a clothesline now in this country, I suppose because neighborhood associations think it looks too peasant. Imagine the energy savings and longevity given to clothes if people would get back to this method of drying. When I was a kid in New Orleans, everybody had a clothesline in my neighborhood, and I was kind of neat seeing the clothes on the line.
And in his house, you know, it puts a lot of sunshine into the clothes, so
yeah.
There you go. You can fade those jeans pretty fast.
very earthy, and
right.
But we don't do that anymore. And some things. Progress is not always progress. It's just change, and maybe it's easier, but not necessarily better. But Manuel Martinez is into high fashion, and you were in New York recently, and I understand you got quite a salute there.
Well, thank you, but I don't necessarily think that I do have fashion. I help gentlemen tap
and
into
some women.
And some ladies tap into the style they already have and help them develop their own style. Because when you make the kind of clothes that we do all made by hand, it lasts for years and years. If you take care of them, it's not like the clothes that Ms. Thomas was talking about that people discard. Sometimes they don't even wear it. My clients wear their clothes, and they wear it for a long time.
Well, as Dana said, most people wear something seven times and it gets thrown away.
Right.
Well, I have on a Manuel Martinez shirt that I know I've worn more than 100 times, and it's still in pretty good shape. It's not. I don't even see any fraying at the collar or anywhere else. So it's held up, and of course we have other great clothiers in the city. Manuel is one of the best known because of his worldwide appeal, but there are people who can do it in a better way. But it costs, and some people don't want to pay the freight going in, but you in the long run save money if you buy a good shirt instead of a one that's going to wear out pretty quickly.
It's like anything else. You get what you pay for. And if you ever had a chance to experience a custom suit made for you and a style for you that only would fit your body, I promise you, you probably would not wear any other kind of suit that you have in your closet.
But we've been through this before. We live in one of the most obese countries in the world, in one of the most obese states. And Baton Rouge a few years ago was named the most obese city in America. Can you make somebody look good if they're grotesquely obese?
Of course. There are ways to do things with the canvases of the suit, how to model and shape them to the individual, where to place the buttonhole, and add a little bit more to the chest so the individual would look a little stronger and give him a waistline. So there are ways to do that. But you can't do that by machine-made garments. You have to mold that canvas. You have to work with your hands doing it.
But if I go to you and then a year later I'm 10 pounds heavier, which often happens, that shirt's not going to fit very well, is it?
Well, if that's the case, when we making clothes, before we do that, we interview the individual to find out their likes and dislikes, and also if he is losing weight or gaining weight. So if he tells me he's got a swing of 20 pounds, I'm going to leave on the garments, especially the coats and the trousers, about 3 inches. And in the shirts, I'm not going to make a very fitted shirt. I'm going to give him some allowances to protect him. Those are the things that you do not get at the store.
Well, Lisa Stansberry of the Pennington Center tells me that the average American male now has a waistline of more than 40 inches. That's average. Average. So we've got a lot of heavy dudes out there. Manuel is not in that company, but you say you can conceal that to some degree, and boy, you must be a rock star if you can.
it's always giving me a pleasure when a gentleman that size comes to the shop and we finish the finished product, and he looks in the mirror and asks me, "Will you please take a picture? Let me send it to my wife or my girlfriend because I look good and I look trimmer."
Well, when you do your thing, as most tailors do, it's almost like getting a medical exam. You're measuring here and there. And what if a guy comes in and he doesn't have a neck? Can you give him a neck, Manuel Martinez?
Well, I'm not a plastic surgeon, but I can certainly make him look
like he has a neck.
Like he's a neck. And you can do that with the shirt, but give him a short band shirt or almost a disappearing band at the front of the shirt. So he will appear more proportional. Or individual the other way that has a chicken neck, like the one I have.
So you have a chicken neck?
So I put an inch and a half band to make me look more proportional and my neck look a little stronger. You see, with a little wider spread.
Well, you don't look like you have a chicken neck.
No, because
how to take care of that.
The shirt is well tailored for me.
And I notice that some of these cleaners, they actually charge you more for your neck size, for laundering a shirt. Did you know that?
I think it's more for the size of the shirt, not necessarily the neck, for the size.
Well, it's definitely done by the neck size. Yeah, if it's over 18 inches and mine's 18, you get charged more at some cleaners. I went to one that doesn't charge extra because of that. It was a matter of principle, Manuel. Sometimes we have to take a stand in life. But you look great, and you take pride in looking great. I asked Dana the same question. In America, and you travel the world, do we care for fashion as much as people do in other countries?
Some other countries are more into style than fashion. Because you take, for example, England. She spoke about one of her mentors having her suits made in Savile Row. But those suits are not cheap. And the people that buy them, they keep for years and years.
877-217-5757. Another segment with Manuel Martinez after Karen Henderson with the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle is producing, and if you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We continue with Manuel Martinez, the celebrated clothier from Baton Rouge, three times named best in the world by the World Congress in Venice, Berlin, and Paris, 2001, 2003, 2005. He recently was in New York, and he was fitting some dignitaries from Africa. We'll talk about that. $2.4 trillion industry we're talking about. $2.4 trillion. This is worldwide, so the U.S. Budget, which is, of course, running about a $1 trillion deficit, is not much more than the money we spend as a world on the earth on garments. And Manuel Martinez, he does it like few others. I see the wide lapels. Are those in style now?
Yes. Matter of fact, the skinny lapels are going to be gone in here in the next year or so. So the trend is going to the wider lapels.
Why? One of those things.
Because think about it. When you go to your closet, mm-hmm. if you're wearing a suit a couple of times a week, you have several suits.
Right.
So people are not motivated to buy other suits. So now the fashion changes so you feel motivated to buy.
So they change it so you'll be hip and with it.
Exactly. And that appeals a lot to the young people and some of the fashionable individuals.
He told me I was out of sync because my lapels are not wide. His are. Could you describe your
the outfit, I'm wearing today?
Yeah.
I'm known for how to put patterns together and looking good. But the suit that I'm wearing today is a light gray with a maroon window pane, and the shirt is a light blue with a maroon stripe, and then the tie is a pocket out tie, maroon background, white dots. So I'm working with three different patterns here. The way to work with the patterns, they cannot all be the same size, because otherwise it's just like a bad reception on television. So they have to be different at different mm-hmm. scales.
Yeah, you could wear that suit when you go to the University of Alabama. People think you're a Crimson Tide supporter. And this man once was the designer of clothes, at least a few suits, for Nick Saban. We've told that story before, but Saban was a hard guy to please, but ultimately you found him a suit he really liked.
Yeah, we had some great times, and I was honored that
he wore it to the White House, didn't
he? Yes, I was honored to make Nick suits for several years.
And he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah,
and you know, part of his appeal is that when he was at Michigan State, if you look back in the mid-90s, he had glasses and his teeth were crooked and his hair was wild, and he wasn't Nick Saban. But then he became Mr. GQ, and he started winning big. Sometimes you do dress for success, literally. 877-217-5757. John at University Gardens. John, you're on Talk Louisiana with Manuel Martinez.
Hey, good morning, Manuel and Jim. I am not a fashionable guy. I'm in my mid-30s now, but I used to wear white New Balance shoes all the time until my now wife just started making so much fun of me for wearing old man clothes. But not being fashionable, I got married a few years ago. I went to Taylor over on Corporate, and I ended up dropping $2,000 on a suit, and that was 3 years ago. And I now measure that suit and how many times I've worn it. I think I've worn it maybe 5 or 6 times. And regarding, you know, weight control and things like that, it's become my reason to maintain my fitness and physique so that I get to keep wearing that wonderful suit, and hopefully one day maybe I'll get buried in it. Thanks.
There you go.
That's an inspiration.
Well, it
stay
is.
Stay healthy.
It is timeless when you get a suit that looks good. But that said, if you buy something that's expensive and it doesn't fit, it doesn't look as good as something that is inexpensive that does fit. It's got to fit, doesn't it?
But the fit is part of it, yes.
Well, this industry is a $2.4 trillion industry. So we're obviously spending a lot of money on clothes. We're not ignoring them, but some people do it better than others. And then there are other people who, you know, they'll spend a lot of money on a car because they want to look good behind the wheel. well, more people are going to see you when you're not behind the wheel. So do people judge people by their appearance, by how they dress?
Well, don't you judge people
well,
by
I do. I do. I'll admit it. I do, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe some people don't really care.
Well, I think everybody makes a decision when they look at an individual with you want to meet them or not, and it's just about the way they look. And we've been told not to judge a book by its cover, but everybody does that.
Here's a good question from a listener. Has social media changed people's consciousness about the way they look? Because now everybody is taking photos of themselves.
Of course. Every day, social media is a big help for fashion. It's a big help for our industry. And everybody takes pictures constantly.
Are women more conscious of fashion than men?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
I don't know exactly why. Maybe there's something in the genes that they grew up with. But I'm thankful for the ladies because they have a big drive today to have their men look good. And a lot of the ladies bring me their husbands or significant others for me to give them a total makeover.
Well, we've talked about it before, and another listener asked about President Trump, and you would think he has clothes that were made by a tailor like Manuel, but he doesn't, does he? He's off-the-rack stuff, isn't he?
The president wears the Brioni suits, and I got to tell you, lately somebody must have got a hold of him because his clothes are looking better. His ties are not as long as they used to be, so maybe somebody talked to him, bent his ears.
And he's got broad shoulders,
yes.
But he's got a huge waistline, and the suits he wears, he's doing the best with what he's got. They conceal a lot of that,
yeah,
which is the whole idea, right?
That's what it is.
But he's a guy. The president is a leader of the free world, and in America, we generally look up to our presidents. Barack Obama, he was a fashionable guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wore clothes very nice, but we also looking at an individual that he probably his waistline, I'm just guessing, I never met in person, it's got to be 36.
36?
36 or 34. No bigger than 36.
Well, I bet it's smaller than mine. And you measured me last time you were on the show. Mine's 35. Obama's a lean guy. Yeah. I bet it's like 33 or 32. And by the way, when I go to a store, not Manuel's store, and I buy pants off the rack, it's a 32 waist, and then he measured me in the studio last time, and it was a 35. Now, how could that be? Did they fudge when they put those sizes on clothes to make you feel better? Is that what they do?
Well, Jim, where have you been for the last 15 or 20 years? The vanity size came.
Vanity size.
Right.
That's to get you to buy clothes, isn't it?
Exactly. So they always, the jeans, they size them down 2 inches or 3 inches. So if you are 34, they make you believe that a 32 jean is what you should be wearing. That's okay. Because they size them lower.
Okay. How about Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan? This is from Colin. What do you think about them?
Well, Mr. Reagan was not only a great communicator, but he knew how to use his clothes as a tool.
When he was also a movie star.
Yeah.
So
he learned something from that. I do remember when Mr. Gorbachev came to visit him in Russia, he told his staff that he didn't want to wait for Mr. Gorbachev inside where the house he was staying. He wanted to meet him on the doorsteps. And the Russia had to put an overcoat on Mr. Reagan. Mr. Reagan said no. So when he shakes Gorbachev's hands and greets him, Gorbachev was wrapped up in one of the sable coats, looked like a little teddy bear. He shook his hand, and Gorbachev said that Mr. Reagan was a man to be reckoned for, and he was not going to back down. So Reagan knew how to use close the tool. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't.
You can convey power.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton, even for his size, when he was a president, we were fortunate enough to have those wide shoulder suits, looser trousers. So he wore them well.
And of course, his body changed.
He
lost a lot of weight when he was president and lost even more after he was president. His last physical, he weighed 196 when he was president. And I guarantee you, the current president doesn't weigh 196.
Yeah.
What about Jack Kennedy? A listener notes that he never or he didn't like to wear hats, but he was a stylish fellow. Why not? Why was he reluctant to wear a hat? Why would he not want to don a hat?
He was a young president, and perhaps he wanted to
show his hair,
make a statement, wear his hair, good looking individual, and that was the kiss of death for the hats. But however, the hats are coming back now. Ladies mm-hmm. and men are wearing equally.
Well, not only hats, but what about these guys walking around with ball caps?
Well, isn't that an
abomination, Manuel Martinez?
That is if you are tearing the sun and driving a tractor, by all means. But once you walk into any building or a restaurant or somebody's home, you remove that cap off. And a hat, too. Ladies have a little more leeway. They don't have to do that, but a man should always remove his hat.
I even see guys walk in and they turn it around like that's cool. Ball cap in a nice place. In an ideal world, would people like that be kicked out of an establishment, told they weren't welcome, Manuel Martinez?
Well, maybe they'll remove it because some people have a very nice set of hairs and they should show that.
Well, and some people are follically challenged, as most of us at some point in life are. But come on, a ball cap? That's terrible. That ball cap's a lot worse than blue jeans, Manuel.
Well, as I
unless
say,
you're out in the sun, and then that makes sense. Yeah,
you're absolutely right. If you're out in the sun and you're watching a game at Tiger Stadium, or you're driving a tractor, by all means,
there
or fishing.
Go. There you go. Yeah. Manuel Martinez, three times named best in the world at what he does, and you can see his magnificent outfit if you go to talklouisiana.org. We'll have it there right after the show, and you can hear his interview again if you'd like and get some fashion tips. Let's do it again soon, and we'll be back to talk football after this quick pause.